Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. It is on our Gregorian calendar, Thursday, the 24th of May. It is on God's calendar, the seventh, of Sivan. It is the Yom Tov, the second day of Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, the sixth and seventh. So this is the day that they have come to by counting their Omer counting. We talked about God's calendar, his great calendar of redemption. And from the Feast of Passover, a certain day when they wave a sheaf offering before the Lord to be accepted, the barley harvest, they begin to count. And they are told to count by the Lord. Verse 15 of Leviticus 23. You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. That's 7 weeks. The Hebrew word for week is Shavua. Shavua, week. Plural, Shavuot, weeks. So in the Hebrew language, this is called the Feast of Weeks. But look what it says. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50. The first translation outside of Hebrew and Aramaic of the Bible was into Greek. And in Greek, the number 50 has to do with Pentecost. Penta. So we call it the Feast of Pentecost because it's the feast of the 50th day. It was exactly what Jesus was referring to when he appeared to them after he rose from the dead 40 days, and then he told his followers in Acts chapter 1, you don't leave Jerusalem. I was thinking about this last night when I was preparing, and I was thinking how this Omer counting, how they count the days, how important it is. I've been in Israel. I know how important this is to them. When they count every day and they're introspective and the harvest, even the wheat harvest, depends upon it. They count and they're so cognizant of it. And the observant Jews, they want to be as clean as they can. Jesus was thinking the same thing. He had cleaned them up with his own precious blood. They were in a special state to receive the Holy Spirit. And so he told them, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't get out of town. Don't contaminate yourselves in any way. And they went back to the upper room where they had had the Lord's Supper. They went back to the upper room and there they waited. They waited till the next Moed on God's calendar. Chapter 2, Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. In the original day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, there came a sound from heaven. It was a shofar. They were around the mountain. The mountaintop was on fire with the lightnings of God, and the smoke was coming up as the glory, the Shekhinah glory appeared. And God gave to them the Torah, the Word of God. That's why those Jews were in town when the Spirit was poured out. They were there to celebrate the day when the Word came. So when those Jews, people in that upper room, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and they were all, verse 4, filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, are these not all Galileans? How hear we them in our own tongues, where we were born? And then it mentions special places, and included is Iran, Iraq, Europe, Asia, Africa, Arabia. Those are more modern-day terms that we know. We hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were there to celebrate from all those places. They were there to celebrate that marvelous day when God gave from heaven his word. Can you imagine that for so many years, 2,000 years, people didn't have a written word of God. It changed everything when from heaven God gave his holy written word, began by giving the Ten Commandments, and then throughout the first five books of Moses, 40 years in the wilderness, Moses received the rest of those books, and man can hold in his hand and read after God his own thoughts. How wonderful it was. And these people were there celebrating it. Now, we do know that the people from the upper room spilled out of that upper room. It was not large enough to hold them. And we know that they came down to the temple area where all these people had come. And they said, we think these people may be, that some were in doubt saying, they could be full of new wine. They could be drunk. And then Peter stands up and preaches this amazing sermon. We know, absolutely know, that this sermon was preached on the southern steps of the temple. This was preached on the southern steps of the temple. How do we know it? Because after the sermon, we see that 3,000 people said, as he finished his sermon, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children and to all who are afar off. 3,000 people then were baptized and were speaking with other, and were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in water, and then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. How do we know that they moved from the upper room to the temple steps? Because there was water at hand to baptize them. And the only source of water in Jerusalem to baptize 3,000 people were the mikvahs, the mikvahot, the place where the baptismal waters in little blocks and units were there for the Jews could go in, completely immerse themselves, come back up, and go on to the Temple Mount. This was something they had to do. And there was no other place in Jerusalem. I always get so thrilled when I'm standing on those steps and preaching where Peter preached and thinking about that great sermon where he preached. These are not drunken, as you suppose, in verse 15 of chapter 2, but this is that. Hallelujah. Seeing it is but the third hour of the day. That's why we know it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And this is that. That was exactly on this date that we're speaking. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Joel, God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then he goes on to speak. And in his sermon, he brings up David. Now, this is very interesting. He says that Jesus Christ was raised, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my hand, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Men and brethren, going down to verse 29, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Messiah to sit on his throne. This Jesus has God raised up, of whom we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, he shed forth this promise of the Holy Spirit, which you now see and hear. He brought up David. Why? Well, of course, he was a prophet, and of course, he did prophesy these things. But David was born and left this life on the day of Pentecost. So, and he's buried not far away from where they stood. So he brought that fact up. In fact, on the Feast of Pentecost, the Jews read through the book of Ruth. who was David's grandmother. And so we see everything pointing, and the book of Ruth talks about, and it takes place during the time of the harvest, the wheat harvest, the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And so we see all these things tied together. The book is not a book of loose ends. Everything is tied together, and that's why I think it's so very, very important that we understand these things. This outpouring of the Holy Ghost came on an exact day that God sent forth the Word. The Word of God and the Spirit of God came on the same day, and tomorrow, don't miss tomorrow, we're going to talk about that in detail and how Paul said it was a very important matter. Now, I want to invite you to let us know you're there. We really need to know you're there in the radio audience. In fact, you've heard that it shouldn't be said, if we don't hear from you, we're going off the air. Actually, we do go off the air in places that we don't hear from people so that we can better use our radio money somewhere else. So please call us and let us know you're listening at 1-800-972-3447. A radio-only offer is being made this week for the book, Take It, It's Yours, by Lester Sumrall. It's a book on dominion. It's a book I helped him write, and it will keep the authority of the believer before you. We want to keep in our heavenly ministry. Remember, we've been talking about that, and we've been offering to you Macmillan's wonderful book on that subject. Now I want to offer to the radio audience only Lester Sumrall's book, Take It, It's Yours, for $7 plus shipping. If you don't order and say it's by radio, you'll have to pay $9. But we want to know you're there. Please let us know you're there. And if you can, send an offering for your radio station to help us remain on the air where you are. I want to invite you also. I want you to come and be with me. I love these schools where I get to stand in these schools of eschatology. We take the whole day. It's like you're going to school. We have a paper, a pencil. We have a book. We have a board. I can say things that I don't say anyplace else. And we've got one of these schools coming up. And we're studying. We're calling it the study of the book of Ezekiel. Actually, we're studying all the prophets. We will mainly begin because so much of what Ezekiel talked about is coming to pass right now. This is August 14 through 17. Plan right now to be with us. Also, if you can, be with us in Washington, D.C., Christians United for Israel, in July. Visit us at billybrim.org and find out everything we have coming up, including our great youth meeting, Champions for Christ, in July. So many things to talk about. There you can see the streaming that we did of what you heard on the radio Monday. You can see us and see our past streaming. We want you to contact us and stay in contact with us. It's important for the assembly that we do. That's what the church is called, the ecclesia, that we do stay in contact. And now, until tomorrow, this is Billy Brim saying shalom.